Lord. Really, really love the Lord. You may be seated. You may be seated. Second Chronicles 7:14. Kingdom connection. Have you ever wondered how some people can pray? And as a result of them praying, it seems like God instantly will move in their lives. I mean, people sometimes will just say, you know, this is what I want from God. And then they go and they pray for it. And it seems like not the next day, but the same day.
All right, now.
God does it for them.
All right.
But here you come. I mean, you have some stuff in your life you've been praying for 16 years.
Amen.
And God still has not moved in your life. And so if you're not careful, you'll begin to believe that something is wrong with you. And something is wrong with your relationship with God. I believe, because the Bible says so, that sometimes when we pray, we pray amiss. That's what James says in James 4:3. He says we pray amiss. In other words, we pray, but we ask God for stuff that we desire and not necessarily what he wants for us. The truth of the matter is, if God will give you everything that you ask for, you will be a jacked up soul. Even though you think you want it, you really don't want it. And if God were to answer some of our prayers, some of the prayers he'll answer for me would be to destroy somebody else. And that's not God. I'm just talking about me. Because every time that I pray, I don't necessarily pray God's will. Sometimes I pray my desire. And God is saying, but I love you too much to release that. And I thank God for that. See, because sometimes we step out of our anointing, out of our holiness, and the man side, the flesh side of us step up, and we want what we want, and we want it right now, and we want it like this, and God is saying, if I gave you that, you really would be messed up.
Amen.
And so to keep us from praying amiss, God doesn't always answer your prayer when you pray. God says, I reserve the right to answer your prayer when you're making a kingdom connection.
All right.
So what is a kingdom connection? A kingdom connection is when we pray that God's will be done so that the earth will look like, act like heaven.
All right.
All right now.
When God was teaching the disciples how to pray, he says, pray in this manner. Pray like this. And then he says, let thy kingdom come. Let what's going on in earth, what they're talking about in the heavens, be reflected here on this earth. See, we sometimes pray for earthly stuff, and God is saying, but we're not talking about that in heaven. Because that's already done up here in this atmosphere. While you down there asking me for a little something, you need to understand that that's already been taken care of in the kingdom. So why don't you let the kingdom connect with the earth? Then you'll see my will be done through you, and you'll be blessed because I show up in your stuff.
All right now.
God always wants to show up in our stuff. See, when God shows up and he's invited, then we see the glory of God. Not just any glory, but the Shekinah glory of God. That is the presence of God. It's not enough for you to drive and to live and to work and to do all these things if nobody can see God in it. Because he's a jealous God. He says, if I did it, go ahead and give me some credit.
All right now.
Let that kingdom come. Solomon, in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, around verse number 23, he makes a prayer and he prays to God. He says to God, your people are doing all sorts of stuff. We want to come back. And so Solomon, a man that had everything, notice he was still praying to God. Unlike some of us, when God gives us a little stuff, we stop coming to church. We stop praying. We stop pressing. We stop worshiping. And God is saying, if you like that blessing, stay with me and see what else is in the storehouse for you. God is just getting started, and we walk out on God. And he's saying, not now. So Solomon was praying. He says, God, I'm praying not for myself, but I'm praying for my people. I find it amazing that Solomon, this king, this leader, was praying for his people, and he had it all. It reminds me of what preachers need to be about today, and that is about God's people. God's people. Not about what you desire, not about what you want, but what is it that God wants for his people? When we understand that being in ministry is about allowing ourselves to be a vessel and God to use us, and as God pours through us, some stuff is going to stick to us. So you can't be a blessing to God's people without God blessing you.
Amen.
But first you have to seek the kingdom of God. God, what is it that you will in this situation? Because God is saying, if you'll catch on fire for me, I'll catch on fire for you. If you'll believe in me, I'll believe in your dreams that I put inside of you. See, we leave God out of stuff, and God is saying, but I gave you the vision. I gave you the dream. And so Solomon finds himself praying. He's praying for God's people because God's people have walked away from God. And then now in chapter number 7, verse number 14, he begins by saying, if. Notice the condition. The condition. He says, if. So point number 1 tonight is regardless. I'm going to tie it in together. Point number 1 is regardless. He says, if my people. In other words, it makes no difference where you find yourself at tonight. God says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, he says, I'll do everything else. Regardless of where you are tonight, God still can reach you. God still can bless you. God still can protect you. God still can deliver you. God still can save you. God can still supply all your needs. Regardless of where you are, God is still God all by himself. So he says, if my people. That's the condition. Because sometimes we are so stubborn, we don't want to do God's will. So God says, you have a choice in the matter, but if you choose me, if my people, my people, those that are in the house of God.
Yes.
My people.
Yes.
Those that submit to me, humble to me, my people. If you belong to God, then God belongs to you.
All right.
See, it's not about you and your righteousness. It's about his promise to us.
Yes.
So he says, if you choose me, I'll release my blessings. I'll release my promises to you. If my people that are called by my name. Called by my name, not your name. Now he's not talking about name like John and Peter and Paul. Not that name. That's not what he's talking about. See, because remember, the Bible declares at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. So when he says name, it has nothing to do with what somebody called you. He's talking about the authority that he left with you. If you are a child of God, you are too big, too strong, too powerful to be living in a life where you are defeated.
All right.
Because you have the authority. One of the first things that God did for mankind is that he gave us authority. He says, you call it something. You name it something. And whatever you call your situation, that's what it is. If you call it trouble, it is trouble. If you call it just a crisis where God is just cradling me because he's building my character, that's what it is. Whatever you call something is what it becomes to you.
Right.
Be careful how you name stuff, how you label stuff.
Yeah.
You start going through something, oh, I'm not going to make it. And God is saying, that's your prayer, I'm going to answer that prayer. But if you give it a new name, He says, I'll give you authority over whatever you name it, to include the works of devils. He says, if you call yourself blessed in spite of what your haters, your backbiters, your enemies, your footstools, in spite of what all of them are doing, He said, if you give it another name, I'll bless the name that you gave it. Because you have authority, dominion over everything. So regardless of where you are, God is still God. God has not changed.
Yes.
So He says, listen, I need you to call it something so that I can do something with what you called it. Remember, God says, I'm married to the backslider. So every now and then we're going to fall short and we're going to slide back into the world. And God says, regardless of where you are, you're still my child.
Yes.
See, how many of us have a child or children and then your child get in trouble and you disown your child? No. As a matter of fact, when your child get in trouble, you press closer to your child. When your child go to jail, you run to get your child out of jail. Whenever your child make a mistake, you run to hug your child. What do you think your daddy in heaven is doing? He's trying to make a kingdom connection through you, and you keep wallowing in the mud. Oh, I fell down. He says, so regardless, get back up, try again and again and again and again. See, He's not concerned about the stuff that we're concerned about. So He says,
if my people
that are called by my name will humble themselves. You got to humble yourself to God. In other words, in order for you to hear God, you got to humble yourself to God. See, you can't hear God as long as you think that you're taller and bigger than Him.
Yes.
Somebody got to come down. And if you choose not to come down, and because God loves you, He'll break your tail down. He'll allow you to go through something to bring you right on down, to get you humble just where you're supposed to be. Not because He's mad with you, because He got a blessing for you. He promised you something, and Jesus cannot return until He releases the promises upon your life. That's how much He loves you. So if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Now, when you humble yourself, that means that you come under authority.
Uh-huh.
The problem that we have in church today is that nobody wants to come under authority.
Uh-huh.
If you can't come under authority, imagine what your house looked like, that which you think you have authority over. See, if you're dealing with somebody and they can't listen to nobody, you're dealing with a fool. You need to run north. Quick. Everybody has to come under somebody. I don't have issues coming under God. I don't have issues coming under the word of the Lord. And I don't care who it comes from. You can be 12 or 20 or 99. If you got the word of the Lord, I want it, baby. We need to get out of that thing. Well, I can't go to church because he's not preaching. I can't go there because I don't like their style. It ain't about a style. It's about a spirit. It ain't about what you think. It's a word of God that is being released. So he says, regardless to where you are,
all right now,
if you humble yourself and pray. Notice he's saying, you can't pray until you first humble yourself.
That's my God.
You got to come down in order to pray.
Yeah.
Because remember, prayer is really about the kingdom connection.
Yes.
Prayer is about me worshiping God, praising God, thanking God, and then getting instruction from God, and then hanging around to hear what He said.
Yes.
We confused. We think when we pray, that's the answer.
Uh-huh.
No, all you did was told God what God already knew. The answer comes when God speaks to you.
Yes.
When God speaks to you, He says, now this is what I want you to do. I want you to go up the street and take a right, but you don't know what's around the corner. And God is saying, but you don't need to know. Just walk it out.
Yes.
See, that's the thing about faith, is that you got to walk your faith out. You may not see around the corner, but I know who controls that corner right there. I may not know what's on that block or my block, but I know who got the block down. I know Jesus has got this thing covered. So now I can walk and see what God had in store for me. He says you got to humble yourself, then pray, and then seek my face. In other words, once you hear from me, now hang around to understand, seek, understand, seek in all our ways. Get it what? So now you got to understand what I'm saying to you. Have you ever been in a place where God began to talk to you in the spirit and what God said didn't make sense to you because I don't really feel like forgiving him today? Have you ever asked God for something and when you asked God for something, God told you to do something, but you didn't understand why would I do such a crazy thing like that? Because God knows where he's taking you, and it may be crazy on this earth, but if I'm trying to make a kingdom connection, remember, I'm praying to God who is both Alpha and Omega. He is at the end in heaven. And so here he is dealing with us down here in the beginning, and he's saying, now this is how you get to me. This is how you're going to walk to heaven. Now, but you got to be careful, because sometimes I tell you to do some things and it won't make sense. Have you ever been riding in your car and you just ride down the street and the little navigation system didn't say a word to you? You touched it because you thought it was broke. But it gave you instructions when you turn on the right road. And so now the navigation system stopped talking. You assume that something is wrong with it. But God is saying to you, I'm not talking to you right now because you're still on the right road. Don't you turn. Don't you go to the left. Don't you go. I know I'm not saying anything to you because, baby, you're doing all right right now. Don't you move. See, you think God is silent because he's mad. God is saying, I like what you're doing. You're going still in the right direction. So he's saying, walk this thing out. And so here we are. We're trying to recalculate, trying to mess up something that is perfect because God is not talking. And God is saying, I don't need to talk to you every step because I've taken out that bottle from you and threw you a piece of meat. You got to stand on your own. When the devil comes against you, put a word on him. You don't need the preacher to preach you anything. You don't need the praise and worship to sing you anything. You better have a praise inside of you on a Monday, on a Tuesday, and on a Friday night when you tuck it through. You better keep a praise. I'm talking to you. And he says, seek my face and turn. So he goes from a position of regardless to repentance. See, wherever you are, you're never beyond repentance.
That's right.
So he says, if you'll turn, turn from your wicked ways. Not his.
Right.
He's still God.
My God.
See, it's only wickedness that pull us away from God.
Yes,
so he says, if you'll turn, if you'll repent, regardless of how you got there, repent. Now, the word repentance means to turn in a different direction. So what we're confused about is, why should I turn here when it's working for me? Everything that's flowing for you is not working for you.
All right.
See, sometimes some stuff that feel real good is actually real bad for you. But Satan likes to sweeten the pie. So he makes that thing real good. He makes it hard to let go. He makes that thing so good to you that you just say, you know, God's going to have to forgive me for this one thing. I'll do all the other 9 commandments, but this one, God, I got to keep this one. So Satan will make that thing so good to you that you really have no desires to turn.
Oh, my God.
This is the nature of who we are.
Yes, sir.
We are by nature against God. That's who we are.
Yes.
See, because we all don't have the bloodline of Adam. So we really have no desire to humble to God. Outside of the Holy Spirit, you cannot humble to God.
That's right.
Without the Holy Spirit piercing your heart at you, you can never come under the authority of God. See, that's why Jesus died in part. When he died, the Holy Spirit descended. Without that Holy Spirit as a conscience on your mind, you don't come under him. And so he says there has to be a repentance. There has to be a turn. So when you turn from your desires, your wicked ways, you turn to his kingdom. So when you pray, he says you pray and you say, let thy kingdom come. In other words, the kingdom of God is not a place in heaven. That's heaven. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the will of God wherever it's being done. See, you can be on earth and still experience kingdom blessings because God lets your will be done. That's why the Bible says when God says, let God be true. Wait a minute. How can I let God be true if God is already true? In other words, what he's saying is that let him be true in you. See, it's not enough for me to watch somebody else getting blessed and watch somebody else's relationship. He says, what's going on inside of you? Yes. Is the kingdom of God inside of you? Yes. Is my will being done in you? Because in order for you to see that, you have to repent, you have to turn, and let his kingdom come. He says, now, when you turn from your wicked ways, when you turn from your wicked ways, he says, then will I hear.
Then.
Not until you repent. God is saying, I don't hear nothing that's going on in heaven about you. I don't hear nothing. I know you said some prayers up there. I don't hear none of that until we first address the separation that sin does. Every time you sin, you die. There's a physical death when you stop breathing. There's a spiritual death when you die. Then sin separates us from God. God only hears the prayer of a sinner man when he's asking for forgiveness or repentance. Even from you and I. When we sin, we have to first close that gap. We have to ask for repentance in order for him to hear from heaven. Then when he hears from heaven, he says, then I forgive you. Notice that he'll forgive you before he heal your land. God just blessed me. God just healed me. He said, no, we got to do some other stuff in order to get there. I need for you first to understand, regardless of how you got there, I'm still God. Now I need for you to repent because you came to the full knowledge of understanding that you have to repent to God. Now, once you get to that point, he says, now the next thing that's going to happen is that then I shall hear from heaven. Now, I found that interesting because he goes to a point of rhema. Rhema being an on-time word. See, God is saying, then will I hear. Not that I don't hear. But the rhema is, I know exactly where you're supposed to be on January the 2nd, 2013. I'm glad God hears the rhema word and release it through us so that God is not giving me a 1988 blessing in 2013. That's what he's saying. Then I hear. I'll give you a right now blessing, a right now word. I'll do it right now because I understand where you are right now. I want you to have what I want you to have now. Not an old blessing, a right now word. Not a yesterday word, a right now blessing. He wants you to be in tune with him so that what you're receiving, you're right on time with God. He says, then I forgive you. Then I heal your land. So then he moves to a point of, yes, rhema word. So he moves to a point of healing, which is releasing. Releasing. Because now there's a kingdom connection. I can hear heaven. The prayers that you set up, I can hear that. So I can take in the kingdom and connect it on earth. So what you've been asking for, you've been praying my name, my will. You're not missing me and I'm not missing you. You ask for a house, I'll give you a house. You ask for a car, I'll give you exactly what you ask for. That's why the Bible says that God will supply all of your needs. Because there's a kingdom connection. He knows what you desire. Because you desire what he desires for you.
Yes.
I'm not praying for myself. I don't want it because I want it. What do you have in store for me? I don't care about the next person being blessed. What do you have for me? So it doesn't make a difference if Jeff is getting blessings. I'm right here. I don't want Jeff's blessings. I want my blessings. Because you said that my blessing got my name on it. I want my stuff. Because if you give me Jeff's stuff, I'm going to be all out of line. But I'm going to wait on you. Lord, I'm going to wait because you got something in store for me. So now I can rejoice with Jeff because if I'm sitting next to him, mine must be next. I don't got to hate on him. Because my stuff is coming. All I got to do is wait upon the Lord. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm tired of waiting, but I got enough strength to stand right here and wait on the Lord. I'm tired of other people getting blessed all around me, and I've been praying amiss. But now, Lord, I want what you have for me. But have you heard about the nice house that Sister So-and-so? I don't care about that.
All right.
I'm waiting on mine.
Yes, Lord.
I thank God that you released it for her. But if you released it for her, you'll do the same for me. Because God has some respect of person. If he did it for one, he'll do it for another. Specifically, if he did it for you, he'll do it for me. Have you been blessed tonight?